everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Fastest Stats with your boy JD. Very special episode right now coming up. I got my brother who pretty much helped raise me. Somebody I look at as a role model, somebody I go to for pretty much like 80% of the things I got going on. Somebody I'm proud to see the man he has become. And he gave me my first taste of fatherhood because I be watching his kids. But without further ado, I want to welcome my brother Jamel Jones.
How y'all doing? As he said, I'm Jamel Jones, JD older brother. Professional writer, filmmaker, producer, anything pertaining to films, I'm doing.
I mean, you do a little more, Chris.
Well, I'm a minister. I mean, college graduate, married to a beautiful woman, Sheena.
Zach, talk yourself up.
You know, well, I'm a multiple festival winner, won 10 first place awards in different film festivals. I've won a couple of honorable mentions, second, third place awards. I've recently shot my first feature film starring the one and only JD.
Yeah. Y'all ain't gonna like me in that, but I did good, though, I think.
Yeah, he did an awesome job. I mean, anything else needs to be known, we're gonna discuss it throughout this podcast, so bring on the questions.
Now, I don't really need to ask you where you from, because obviously they know where you from. You're my brother. So let's get into the career moves and the things you do. When did you start your journey into just writing and getting into the filming?
Honestly, I started writing, man, way back in middle school. But when I got to college is when I really started looking into writing. Like, I rewrote the Shakespeare, To Be or Not to Be. I rewrote that in a poem in a modern day fashion, and my college professor loved it. She asked if she used it to be in the Indiana English department in colleges across the United States. And from then on, I decided to get into poetry. Started writing poetry, then turned it into a book, all Christian poetry. And then once I got done with the poetry, I'm like, you know what? I want to get into writing films. So I wrote my first script. Thought I did a good job, then got it to a producer. Ripped it to shreds. Just tore it down. And that's when I realized, hey, I'm going to go ahead and go to college. So went to college, got my writing degree. And 2018, got my degree. Then I turned around later that year, got invited for my first film festival. I lost. And that's when I decided, you know what? I'm going to make my first movie. So I got it to the right people. Chris Edwards, he's a director of photography, and he knows the business as far as filmmaking. So he read my script, loved it, called me, hey, let's shoot this. That's his words, let's shoot this. And we went from there. He connected with the right people. I learned mostly everything that I know about filmmaking from Chris. So, yeah, we shot that first movie. Won at least 4 film festivals just off that movie alone. It's called The Truth Shall Make You Free. You can find it on YouTube. Yeah. And that's how it started. You know, I just love writing. It all started from me writing, and I love writing, and I got creative ideas. I just have a lot of things come in my head where I need to write it out. And I love character building. I love to see characters develop and why they this way, why they that way, what made them start to change. I love to show how characters change in films. So, yeah, it just took off from there.
I mean, you said a lot, so I want to break down a couple of things. But first thing I want to say, I'm not a fan of Shakespeare, so I think anything you write gonna be better than Shakespeare. Cause personally, I feel way back then they just start putting names on stuff and saying Shakespeare was doing it. How can you tell me he created iambic pentameter if he didn't even know that's what it was called? I think he overrated personally, so I'm glad you did better than him. And then, second, shout out to Chris. I like Chris, and he probably gonna hear this, and he might be eating donuts and hot dogs while he doing it. Shout out to Chris. Seriously though, the character development, man, and every film you came out with, cause I'm not gonna lie, as close as we are, I don't really like seeing, well, getting into his creative process. I like to see the work he doing and putting in, but I don't really want to read much into it because I like to see the results. And when he created the movie that I'm in, I did not see the way this thing was gonna play out or develop when he first pitched the idea, saying like, that's what he think about doing. I didn't even think I wanted to be in the movie. And then I'm like, you know what, I want to try something new. And I gotta say, with the way every character started out in the film, and you see the progression and regression of each and every one, as far as just in certain ways, they like, it's so real, cause it's not fake. It's what people go through every day. And I don't know, man. I think that might be my favorite thing that you do. I don't be telling him this, so I'm only saying it on the podcast. I just be telling him like I'm proud of him and stuff. I don't get into detail. We don't do that. But writing for real though, I think it's something in our family, because a lot of times I do some writing, and I started realizing the more I got into it, I do come to you more like asking for your thoughts and opinions on it. So, yeah, I think we just was blessed with that. But you definitely somebody, I feel like I started going to more with my writing when I started finding my passion from it. But then again, I mean, I kind of might have already been good at it, but I started taking it more serious the older I got, and the greater your influence became on me, honestly.
Thank you. I mean, when it comes to that, you always got to look at, who are you trying to reach? What is your end game for whatever it is that you're writing? And me, I always look at, yeah, I want to reach people and help them and show them that me being a Christian, a minister, I go through issues too. But I want to reach people, real issues. When it comes to my films, I want to touch the real issues that you're not going to see in a lot of like Christian based films. I want to touch those issues dealing with, you know, depression and suicidal thoughts, and, you know, just get real down to what made that person. That's why I love the character development. The first thing I think about is, why is this character this way? That's the first thing that goes on. Why did they turn out this way? Why are they acting this way? Why they carry themselves this way? So it makes me look, okay, let's develop a story as to why they are this way. And every story, I try to make it as realistic as possible, because you never know who you touch or who can reach, who your storylines could reach, or, you know, when you're being creative, I like to put myself in a lot of things. And truth be told, the movie that JD in, he probably don't even know, but I put a lot of my story and my wife's story into that film.
Well, I know I didn't act as you.
Nah, you weren't me.
Yeah, I know that.
But nah, some of it, like the way the story played out, for the most part, the storylines isn't me and my wife's stories, but as far as situations and the way we carried ourselves and everything and how we came together. A lot of that story is in the movie that JD's in. And the name of the movie is Proverbs 31 that JD's in. And it's already won 3 film festivals and is nominated for several other film festivals. Just need to throw that out there.
And I'm pretty sure y'all follow, some people follow me on Snap. Best Cast won one of them, some, yes. My name is attached to an award. Ha, just a slight brag. But, more seriously though, you know, we grew up, I feel like we grew up like a lot of other people, where we was forced to go to church. And for a long time, I stopped going. I talked about it on here, you know it. I stopped going, but I think I always been drawn to when you would do the little Bible studies around the house and get the house together, or just little stuff you talked about. It used to have my mind wonder. So then when I started getting into the word, I think our bond became closer around that. But I want to get into what led you to become a minister? Because honestly, we already seen it in you. But you know, I was off in college when that full transition was made and happened.
I mean, I can't take credit for becoming a minister because it's ordained by God. So it's pretty much kind of like a Jonah situation. I did all the running I could do, but you can't outrun God. So, I mean, it started, I mean, we all go through our struggles and our trials and tribulations. A lot of people don't know my full background, my full story, whatnot. I've been through a lot. I done been from homeless, smokes, get high, you know, drinking, divorce, suicide attempts, locked up, fighting, womanizing. I done it all. And it just was all a part of me running until God decided to sit me down and he gave me the ultimatum. Hey, either you're going to stay sitting down or you can get it together. And my health came into play, so I decided, hey, I need to get myself together because I'm not living just for me. I'm living for my kids. I got more people that's counting on me that need me. So I decided to get myself together. I stopped drinking. I stopped cursing. I stopped, you know, doing all of that, womanizing, anything that brought me down, I had to cut it off. And it wasn't hard to do. So once I cut that off, you know, I started getting more into the word. And once I separated myself from certain people and ways of life, my life just got better. I'm like, how you go from being homeless to owning your own home? I own my own business now. You know, I got a beautiful wife that's in church who's also a minister. Got custody of my kids, you know. Working real, got a real good job, and I'm living my dream at the same time. Not many people could say that they came from nothing, literally nothing, to something. You know, my mom struggled taking care of us, but she did it with a smile because she knew she was taking care of her kids. And I used to have to go donate blood just to feed my kids. I made a promise I'd never do that again, and I haven't done it since that day because I can do better. And my kids need to see us doing better and know that regardless on what situations they in, it's always a way out. So I try to be a good example for my kids as well. But as far as that, like I said, as far as me being a minister, that's all God. I can't take credit for it. When God calls you, it's up to you to answer or stay in your hole. Stay on that boat and keep on rocking that boat until eventually you're going to get tossed into the water. So I decided to let God have his way. And yeah, He called me to be a minister and be an example for people who, you know, been in my shoes or who's currently going through what I've been through. People watch you. That's all I can say. You are, there's always somebody watching to see your progress. So if I can reach and touch anybody with my story, you know, I feel accomplished.
Yeah, I can definitely say you definitely touched me personally, because I looked up to you. So a lot of the stuff was like, I don't know, I always just looked at you like, yeah, you were this different kind of person to me. But at the same time, it was like, I was always there with you. Mama had you to help raise me, for sure. Mama, people don't know, like, I be telling people, like, man, we really come from the trenches. We done seen and been through so much stuff. And, like, we got another brother. Y'all the only two people I seen right off bat living their dream. And we from Gary. Know what I'm saying? Like, I know more people now that's doing it, but y'all the first two people I seen set goals and really reached it. And I seen others over time reach it and fumble it. But it's like, I don't know, I think just seeing everything you've accomplished and come from where we come from, it's one of them stories that's a big reason why I knew I had to get you on here, because people go through a lot of the stuff you talked about. I haven't been through some of that stuff. A lot of that stuff I have, you know, for a long time I struggled with drinking. I actually know how to control myself now. I think a lot of times people, we get caught up in our problems because we don't know any other outlets. And it wasn't until, like you said, God set you down, and God really set me down. And my mind was clear. I was depressed at the time. And I think I talked to you about it. I was depressed at the time, man. I just didn't have nothing else to do. And I prayed for like the first time in so long. Then I just started doing small stuff, getting closer to God, and boom, I started hitting you up, asking questions like, what is it saying in this? And I think a lot of it goes back to just knowing your journey and having an outlet directly to you that allowed me to make the progress that I made.
Yeah, see, one thing, you gotta have an outlet whenever you're going through. See, I battled depression. I was actually diagnosed with depression disorder, and I battled depression for years. But the difference between me and what I'm trying to do for others, I didn't have an outlet. I didn't have nobody I could turn to and talk about my issues and stuff with, because I had an issue with trusting people to use my words and my issues against me. So I didn't have nobody to turn to. I didn't feel nobody could relate to me. And I had nobody that had my back. So I try to be an outlet for people that battle with those things and depression and all of that, because I've been through it. That's it. Before suicidal thoughts or anything to that nature, it's depression. Stress leads to depression, and depression leads to much worse things if you don't get help. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. I talk about it on here a lot, like a lot of the different additions and battles that I had. And I think everybody go through them a different way, but a lot of times, like, it's stuff like just knowing you got somebody that been through it, because it helps you. And one thing, I feel like most people that go through depression, we always feel like we alone. That's why we depressed, because we don't feel nobody have our back or anything like that. And a lot of times we isolate ourselves even more, which leads us to more depression. Mm-hmm. And I think with what you do, you serve as a huge inspiration to those who witness any of the things you put out there, because it touched so many different situations. And I mean, I remember one of the scripts me and you talked about. I can't wait till you put that into a movie, because I think a lot of people will be directly affected by that, just from the sense of trust. I think you know which one I'm talking about. And I don't know. That's my favorite one.
It's right called now. Deeply Rooted.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. That one, my favorite one. I feel like anybody as myself with trust issues can truly learn a lot from that. Because it's not all about who you trust. It's what you trust. And I don't know. That's why I be feeling kind of good about putting out stuff like this. Because I know before I ever thought about having a podcast, people was like, tell your story. I used to talk to you like, bro, I'm going to do a sports podcast. I never talked about doing one like this. Then one day I came to you like, man, I think my story could help people. You think I should do it? You're like, do it, bro. We went on and did it. Now we here over a year in.
Congrats.
Thank you. I be trying, man. People crazy. But another one. Another question I got. As far as with what you have put out right now, which festival victory meant the most to you? And I believe I know which one.
Each festival got their own different meanings to me. Like, but I could say my very first festival,
I knew it,
meant a lot to me. And it was from the Circle City Film Festival in Indianapolis, ran by Rashida Randall. It's crazy because that was the very first festival I ever entered into, and I lost that first year. So I made it my goal, my personal goal. I'm like, I'm gonna come back next year, and I'm gonna come back stronger, and I gotta win this. So this next year, the script, Proverbs 31, was my first festival win, and now I just turned that into a movie, which starring JD.
But
that script won, and that was precious and special to me because at the time I just had lost my father. So I felt like, you know, I was dealing with some things at the time. My emotions was here and there, but knowing that that was my passion at the time. And that was some, when I say I was sitting there, my hands were shaking, I was nervous. And to hear them say my name and my script won, Proverbs 31, that was like a feeling like no other. I've never achieved something on that level. So my very first one, Proverbs 31, Circle City Film Festival, that was the most special victory for me. But I could say in a close second is winning the festival in my hometown, Gary, Indiana. I won the Audience Award, which is also the Viewer's Choice Award for my film, The Truth Shall Make You Free. So that one was special as well because I won it for my home. So, yeah, I think those two are probably the most important festivals and the two biggest W's for me.
Yeah, I didn't know it was Proverbs 31, but I knew the one in Nap was gonna be your first one because I remember when me and you talked and you said joint win. I seen your grind change. I seen the stuff you started doing. I was like, bruh. And I was in college, and every time we talked every day when I was in school, literally, I remember calling for like, I believe, a good 2 months straight. And our conversations was a lot shorter because you were so dedicated to the grind. I'm like, I gotta get like that.
Yeah, that's how you know if that's your passion or something. If you lose or you don't reach your goal and you stop, then can you truly say it's your passion? Or even when you reach your goal, if you stop after you say you get your version of success, say you get millions of dollars or whatever, if that stopped your grind, then can you truly say that was your grind, or was you doing it just to reach that goal? See, my grind don't stop. I've been doing this over 10 years. It took me at least 10 years to actually get to the point to where I actually start getting recognized for script writing and stuff like that. So, and I'm actually starting to reap benefits from it now. So that shows that that's my passion. If anything could stop you from reaching your goal and to getting the way you're trying to do and with something you love, then can you truly call it your passion? Can you truly say you love doing it? Because nothing should ever stop that grind. You should never have, I got that Mamba mentality, like when it comes to writing, like, hey, you beat me, I'm coming back harder next time. I don't get that W like I want, I'm going to guarantee you I'm going to get that W eventually. And on more than one occasion, when I didn't win a festival, I kept entering to that festival with different projects, more work, more grind, until I won it. So, yeah, should nothing stop your grind. Like, for real, I'm going to keep grinding. Even right now, JD, no, I'm grinding right now.
Oh, yeah.
Nonstop.
Too.
I stay up to 4-5 in the morning sometimes working. That shows that's my passion, though. I got to reach my goals.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I ain't even got to ask another question behind that. Well, I think I want to let that marinate into people, man, a lot. Another thing, you want to know something? I just thought about this. You know how you had to be special all along? Because you named me. People don't know you the one that named me. I got my real name, Jeremiah, because of this guy. Did you give me the nickname too? I don't know where my nickname
what,
came
JD?
From.
JD?
Yeah.
Nah, I didn't give you JD.
I
just gave
you
your actual name though.
Yeah, yeah.
I named that your mom's ex. Well, our mama asked. And yeah, I'm like, hey, name him Jeremiah.
And it's weird because you told her that. And she told me her and daddy was reading that part of the Bible, the whole pregnancy, and didn't think none of it.
Yeah, I told her, hey, Jeremiah, that's it. And y'all, yeah, when he say I helped raise him, he meant that. Like, I'm the first person put a controller in this little dude's hands that he was like the age of what, two or three. And yeah, it went from me blowing this dude out by 100 points in every game. I showed no mercy.
Oh, yeah.
Showed no mercy.
I took a lot of losses.
I didn't care about him crying. Because the way I look at it, if you can push past all of that, which he did in them video games, then this little dude start challenging me. We going best of sevens and he getting at me, like, but that just shows, like, hey, your will, you gotta have that grind in you. He had to grind. It's just a video game, but he was not gonna stop until he eventually beat me.
Yeah, it turned me to a sore loser, to be honest. Now I can actually take losses, cause I feel like it's not truly losses, it's lessons. But back then, oh man, I was a crybaby if you beat me, bro. I used to hate that.
But you didn't stop. That's the thing. You didn't let that stop you.
I went back to the lab. I had to. But that's kind of how, like you described with the Indie Film Festival, that's kind of the same mentality I had. I got with anything. Like, I remember a couple times in life where I tried something and it was just like, I just didn't get what I wanted from it. I never won, for instance, baseball. I always felt like I was the best player around in baseball. I never won the championship and kept going back. So a loser, though, because I used to be ready to cry at them championships. But then, even the poetry competition I went to in college, I knew I was the best. I didn't win. I ended up writing something so cold right after I lost. And it just so happened I went to an open mic night. Got standing ovation. I ain't gonna lie, I killed it. But I don't know, it's like I'm passionate about whatever I'm doing. But as far as the writing goes and really trying to make an impact on people, especially the youth, because I feel like my calling and my testimony definitely more geared towards the youth, because I done been through so much and I'm still young.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think we all got, you know, different gifts and callings in life. but our testimonies only can speak to a certain amount of people. That's why so many of us got these different gifts and callings, because we not going to be able to gather the entire world. But it's somebody that's with us that could get the crowd that you can't necessarily affect.
Yeah. See, God knows what we can and can't bear. See, yeah, the Bible says he'll never put more on us than we can handle. It's not God that put it on us. It's us that put more on us that we can handle. But see, yeah, God only puts what he know you can get through and come out strong with, because he know he's giving you a testimony, because it's going to be others that come after you that deal with those same things that you be willing to help or that you can help. So God knows what he's doing in those situations. Some people go through a lot of serious things because there's others that can benefit from it. So yeah, I went through everything I went through, and JD was there to witness a lot of the stuff that I did. I even influenced him in negative ways doing some of that stuff. But now that he get to see me on a different light, which is very influential, and I'm happy to say that I've took a good positive part in his life versus leading him down that wrong path. But hey, man, let's talk about some interesting stuff. Let's talk about the whole movie side of it.
Like, they gonna take some gems from that. But the movie, I'm telling y'all, listen, he was not my brother on that movie set. I didn't like him some of them times. I'm telling y'all, from the first day, I realized, man, it's different between knowing your brother or sibling and knowing your boss. I didn't take it personal because I knew he wanted the best from everybody, but especially this is his work. This is what he put into it. I'm telling y'all, it was certain times I think I did good, right? And I'm hearing, nope, you didn't look long enough. Come back. I'm like, dude. But it was so much fun. Like, the sets was, I mean, y'all know me, y'all know I'm a clown, bro. I was having so much fun. But it was truly a work of art, just seeing what he put to paper, seeing his vision come out into a movie. Because some of the stuff I didn't even know everything till I read the entire script. I'm like, man, this can be good, but I still didn't see it the way he seen it. So if we was too far to the left, I could tell that the vision that he had being disrupted, and I'm like, oh, this is next level genius right here. Cause when I started looking back, trying to see how I looked on the camera and all that, it was easy to see what he was saying as he's telling me, like, all right, I want you to do this the same way, but look this way now. Do it this way. It was so much fun. I'll let you talk about it, because you know I kind of was tripping.
Yeah. I mean, nah, JD made the set fun, though. Him and Chris kept roasting each other the whole time. I mean, sometimes you're going to be on set for hours and hours and hours.
15 hours first day.
Man. Oh, yeah. Them first day was hard. It was long because it was establishing everything. And, you know, we got to make sure we feed everybody throughout the whole time. But, nah, what he's saying is, yeah, it's you got to capture every moment in different ways, you know, because you got to reset and make sure you're capturing everything to where when you get to editing phase, you got a lot to work with. Plus, yeah, it's all about your expression. It's all about the delivery. How well are you going to bring that character to life? Yeah, this not the character that JD played is not who JD is.
At all.
This is a total different person. So it was different for him to have to, you know, capture that.
Very challenging.
So, you know, but I believe I did a good job at trying to help him, like, coach him to, you know, be in that mind frame as to who he's supposed to be as that character. And I think he brought it to life. So it's a beautiful thing to see your creation, a song that you put so much effort into, come to the forefront and being brought to life. It's nothing like it. It's no better feeling. But Yeah, one of the biggest things on a movie set is the food. Most important thing. Got to make sure you feeding everybody, putting some in their bellies, making sure they good, got some snacks, drinks, all of that. Got to make sure you take care of your people. Because a lot of people, I've been blessed with this movie stuff because I get a lot of people volunteering that want to be a part of it because they love what we do. They love what I do. They believe in my work. They believe in every effort, every word that I put on paper, and they want to see it come to life. So a lot of people volunteer to help out, donate, volunteer, and I always try to look out for everybody that's involved in helping me.
Man, you had a very, it was a lot of nice people around. It was a lot of nice people around. Another thing that I wanted you to put out there, how can they audition? Because I know people ask me, how you get in a movie? Well, I'm like, man, luckily, I knew my brother was auditioning people, but even I had auditioned kind of late.
When auditions, I'm gonna tell y'all this. I don't go based off of my relationship with you because at the end of the day, this is my business. This is my livelihood. So I go for the best. JD had to earn that spot.
I didn't even get that.
Originally, JD wasn't even the one picked for that spot. JD was supposed to be like an extra. But then it was a process of elimination. A lot of people backed out of the movie and it ended up coming to JD being the best fit for it, which it turned out to be the best move.
And I killed when I picked up for Buddy. Well, during the reading, I killed them readings.
Yeah, man. It's like when I do auditions, I always put it on my social media platforms and I try to reach out on Craigslist, Facebook, you know, Instagram. Of course, my name Jamel Jones on Facebook, or you can find my business page, Inspirations of God Productions, on Facebook. And same thing on Instagram. You know, my name Jamel Jones. You can look me up on YouTube. You can YouTube my name, Jamel Jones. My name is spelled JAMALJONES. You can look me up on YouTube. You can catch a couple of my films on there. I shoot commercials. I do wedding videography. And I do short films. You can catch a couple of my short films on there, my trailers. Every film that I've ever made and every script that I've written has been either nominated for festivals or won festivals.
You just said something. Talk about grind. On his birthday this year, we went and filmed a wedding. That is what you call a hustler's mentality. On his birthday, what most people celebrate, this man was putting in work, and we went somewhere we never been before. I didn't even like it there, to be honest. I didn't like it there. It felt very weird and creepy. And they kept asking me, was I the DJ? And it was making me mad. But to see him putting that grind in, it was even more motivation for me. Because I'm like, bruh, it's no days off for real.
Oh, yeah. We was, 2.5 hours?
Man, it felt like four.
Yeah, it took a 2.5 hour drive to go shoot a wedding. And we were there, man.
The whole day.
Yeah, our whole day was gone. We didn't get back till late.
Yeah, I think we went there we got up 7:30.
Yeah, we got there early. We got there pretty early in the morning and didn't get back until
after 10.
Yeah. So we spent our whole day there grinding, shooting this wedding, taking pictures and all that stuff. Yeah. Just for the lady to turn around and still didn't pay me.
Yeah, they
wasted my birthday. Down there and didn't even get my pay. Gave me the deposit. That's it.
We could have went out to eat or something.
Could have enjoyed my birthday.
We went out there grinding. But even still, we not go dwell on it. We was paid an experience. I liked it. I ain't gonna lie, I did like it because I'm not somebody that go to a lot of weddings. So just seeing that, then seeing from a working standpoint, like wow, we seen the setup, the cooking, we seen literally everything come into this couple's dream wedding play out. But all right, back to the movie, because I did just think about that when you talked about just grinding and bringing up the weddings, you feel. But anyway, I didn't like the part of the movie where I liked the whole movie. Let me tell y'all something. To not be yourself is so hard when you gotta not be yourself. It's easy when you act like people you know. But this person was the complete opposite of me. I'm like, I look very intimidating, but really, I'm a goofy person. I like to joke and laugh. And I couldn't do none of that. So it was very hard to do this role. I had to be serious all the time. I only look serious when I'm sleepy, because I like to crack jokes. It was so difficult not being myself for this role.
I mean, that's all a part of acting. But what I'm happy is the seat for JD to get that experience of being on a movie set. Anybody that I work with, I try to tell them, anybody that's interested in that, being on a movie set is totally different. It is not, you know, you see the movie come together, you think like, oh, okay, cool, that's a good movie, all that. But you see the full grind behind putting a movie together and what people got to go through, all the different takes, because you're taking at least 2 or 3 takes per,
man,
per, you know, per time that you shooting at per take. You got to do it like repeatedly, say the same thing repeatedly, make the same moves repeatedly. You got to, if you do one thing different, it can mess up a whole shot. So it's not like a stage play, which I write stage plays as well, but it's not like a stage play. Stage play, you can mess up and improvise off of that. You can ad lib in stage plays, but movies, no. You got to be on point and on cue. But no, JD did an awesome job. We had a lot of laughs, a lot of goofiness. And that's another thing. When you, it's good to make people feel comfortable when shooting movies. You feel comfortable, you can have some laughs. You ain't got to be all serious all the time. When you comfortable, but it's all, you got to also remember it's business and you're still on a time schedule. So, but when you comfortable and can have a few laughs and all of that, people loosen up a little bit. They get more into themselves, and then they, you get better work versus putting so much pressure on people and making them feel, you know, out of pocket and uncomfortable and like they don't want to work with you because you're a jerk. No, I try to be as easygoing as possible, but also letting them know, hey, this is what I do, so we got to get this done. So yeah, you take your work serious, but you treat everybody with respect and you get them the respect that you want. And also treat them like family, because for that time period of recording, y'all are family, because you're going to see them more than you're going to see actual family.
Man, that is so true. I don't even remember nothing I did besides film when we was filming. But it was very fun.
Did a whole week straight, 7 days.
And we was going from sun up to sundown, because there's so many different morning scenes, night scenes. It was fun, but I wasn't a morning person. I could get up early now, but at that time, hecky nah. I believe I only had like 2 hours of sleep the first day of filming.
JD almost got shot in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
She pulled the trigger for real.
Yeah, let me tell y'all something. Do not do movie with people who is really crazy. She was about to pop me. And the thing is, the scene was over. They said cut, and she still pulled the trigger.
Good thing it was a fake gun, man, because she would have popped JD right in the leg.
Man.
But let me, now, some of these movies, like, you need to understand, we putting all, in every movie, you putting work into. I did this movie, Where's Your God? We were literally out in the 90-degree weather shooting in the small shed the whole time. But, man, the movie came out good. Shout out to Adrian Hudson. That's my guy. He's in almost every movie that I make. Adrian Hudson is right there, taking time from his family, his day, to come and do this. And he's not, because he believes in me. And Where's Your God? Was Dion Albert drove from Georgia to come and be a part of this movie. Also, I want to give a shout out to Latarion Perry. That kid, man, he got a grind like nobody else. He's always on the grind. He was my first AD in my first film, and I learned so much from Nick, dude, man. You can catch him on some of everything right now. Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, The Shy. Like, he's grinding. Shout out to you, Latarion. Keep it going, man.
Yeah, now, we done put a lot of time in here. I don't want to hold y'all too long. So, we gonna finish up with some words of encouragement. Drop one final gem, some advice.
I mean, I've been trying to get that throughout the whole thing, but I mean, don't stop grinding. If it's your passion, keep going, and you're gonna get a lot of doors closed in your face. But that, if the door closed, if you can't find help, do it yourself. That's what I've done this whole time. When people kept telling me no, fine, I'm gonna do it myself. I couldn't find nobody to help me shoot movies with a camera. I learned the camera myself. Went and bought my own camera, learned how to work it myself. Study it. You gotta do the research. You gotta learn every aspect of what it is that you're trying to do. So when it comes down to it, nobody could ever cheat you. Nobody could ever get over on you. And you relatable to everything going on in your surroundings. So nobody can ever get over on you in any type of way. Plus, it's always good to be well-rounded. You can sit at any table in the room if you know something at every table in the room. So grind, learn every aspect of your talent, of your gift, and of your art, and get all you can get out of it, man. And as long as you got God first, he's gonna open the doors. I always tell people, God always open doors for you, but it's up to you to go through the door. He's not gonna carry you through it. It's up to you to go through the doors. And that shows how much you really want it. Are you willing to go through the door that God opens for you? And that's all I got for you, man.
All right, now, I can't follow nothing up like that. So, y'all just stay tuned. My very next episode, I'll give y'all a hint. One of the young guys that just made it out our city. And let's say he living his dream, too. I know when he hit this, he gonna know exactly who I'm talking about. We about to put another one out for y'all.